Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Hour two of Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, breaking down each and every NFL game. We continue that train along as we talk about Tampa Bay and New Orleans. George, Kenny brought up some of the plays here. I'm a big fan of the New Orleans defense for some high upside potential takeaways in this contest with Fitzpatrick under center for Tampa Bay. I'm really struggling to understand. We talked about this our first week together last week, George, about what this Tampa Bay offense is going to be, whether Peyton Barber matters. You have some great skill position guys and at wide receiver, tight end. You have guys that should perform. I just don't know who they're going to be and what real offense we're going to see week over week. How do you break this one down? I mean, obviously Mike Evans is in your lineup. He's a stud, but do you see high upside here, or do you see this as a game that New Orleans dominates?
Oh, I think New Orleans is going to take care of business here pretty easily. I'm not so sure, even with Winston at quarterback, the Tampa Bay was all that good a team.
Yep.
You know, I think there's some changes that need to be made there. I'm probably still starting Peyton Barber, starting running back. It's so hard not to start a starting running back. So I assume he's in your lineup there. Mike Evans is always in your lineup. It really gets dicey after that. You know, do you want to go to Sean Jackson? You know, he's had a decent camp. I expect Fitzpatrick to have to throw the ball a whole bunch to keep up with the Saints. But I don't know if I want to start this on Jackson. Once again, that comes down to what you have there else around you. If Jackson's on your team, you drafted him late, probably double-digit rounds. You should be able to do better tomorrow. New Orleans, who doesn't go? Now, Kenny mentioned Gillislee. He hasn't even been there a week. I don't know. I have him I think it's the Scott Fishbowl. One of the leagues I have, and I'm decimated at running back. I was one of those guys that got crushed with injuries. Scott Fishbowl was a 20-round draft, and five players I had won't play this season.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, yay me. Yeah, I'm done before the season starts. So I had issues there, and I picked up Gillislee. I bid on Adrian Peterson, folks. I bid on Morris. They went for $100 each. That was the max bid, and I didn't go that high. So I didn't get either one there. So I have problems with Scott Fishbowl, to put it nicely. But anyway, no one wants to hear about my problems. I'm not starting Gillislee this week, no, because you really have to bank on what Kenny said. Second half's a blowout, and Gillislee falls into the end zone, and he gets one. So I'm not going to bank on that, no. Obviously, Kamara goes, Thomas goes, Breeze goes. I don't know if I'm going anybody else. You know, Ben Watson, some people have toyed around with there. Are you that worried about George Kittle against Minnesota? I'm really not with a tight end there. So I'm probably not starting Watson. Tre'Quan Smith, Cam Meredith, that's a wait-and-see situation. I think one of those two will have to break out for the Saints to truly be special this season. They'll need that second wide receiver. And you would have asked me in July, June, I would have thought it was Cam Meredith. Loved his chances this year. Now it might be Tre'Quan Smith. He may be the guy you want there. So that's a problem. If they're both available on your waiver wire, you're sort of playing a guessing game there. I'm still leaning more towards Cam, but that's because I'm a safe person. I'm a safe owner. I go more the conservative pick, and Cam is the conservative pick.
All right. I think this is going to be a fun game for New Orleans across the board. So obviously, from DFS purposes, and we'll mix some of that in this hour, Breeze has some major, major upside in this contest. What do we have on my bookie for this one? New Orleans and Tampa Bay, over-under 49.5, minus 10 for New Orleans, minus 520 money line. I love New Orleans here, and I think this is a potential absolute blowout. Minus 10 is a tough pill to swallow, and maybe not a game I go to automatically. But if you want to be different in your survivor pools, and you want to be off the Baltimore Ravens in case something crazy happens there, which, hey, bad weather can do that. Bad Joe Flacco can do that. New Orleans, I think, is a pretty safe bet here as well for your survivor pools. And I think that strategy every once in a while in week one to really take in, get away from the chalk when it comes to who you're picking. Go with a secondary team that you like just as much. And I like New Orleans just as much here against Tampa Bay as everyone likes Baltimore against Buffalo. So I might go New Orleans in a survivor pool. Let's anything else from this game, George, before we move on?
The only thing I would say about this is what we see from Tampa the first 3 weeks is going to change once Winston's back in there.
Yes, yes,
you know, and that's a problem as well. That's annoying as well. And I'm not, well, if you're a Winston owner, if you are a Winston owner, I am a Winston owner in a couple of leagues, mainly because I play in two quarterback leagues and they came real cheap. I'm not worried about the GM. We all heard it, and I think it was at the third preseason game where, Winston's not guaranteed to be a starting quarterback. You know, Winston has his issues. No doubt he has his issues. But he had a very good preseason. He's a starting quarterback in week four.
Yeah, it's funny to hear the GM do the, he's not guaranteed his job when he gets back. Oh, okay, great. You're talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's fine. That's fine. Let's not play this game. We all know what's going to happen week four. But let's roll on, continue bringing down these games. One more 1 p.m. game, which is Jacksonville and New York. Listen, Eli Manning's 37 years old, and he's an okay quarterback. This Jacksonville defense is really good, and I'm not really sure that I want to be trotting Eli Manning out in any lineups this week. Odell Beckham, he's a stud. You play him and has the ability to separate from Jalen Ramsey. I think if they shadow him with Ramsey, I think Odell can still get his. But if I go down the line, George, and say, okay, well, Saquon can do something, and Odell can do something, and Evan Ingram can do something, does that force my hand to play Eli? Like, if I think all of them can have decent games, does that add up to Eli, or is it more just risk factoring and staying away from Eli and potential interceptions?
I am not starting Eli in this game. Okay, and there is a league I have Eli Manning. It's not a two-quarterback league. It's a league I got screwed out of a quarterback because everybody and their mother took second quarterbacks before I took a first. So I have Alex Smith. And so I looked at Eli, you know, before I realized who they were playing, and I thought, maybe Eli, you know, I like the weapons he has around. And there will be some weeks I start Eli over Alex Smith. I have no doubt there will be. This, however, will not be one of them. All right, you're playing what is likely to be the best defense in the AFC, if not the NFL. I'm not messing with that. Now, Jalen Ramsey might – he talked the talk all summer long, right, all offseason. That's all we heard from Jalen Ramsey. Everybody sucks. Everybody sucks except him pretty much. You know, and now he's got to walk the walk. So, and I think he'll be primed to shut down Beckham in this game. Not that he'll be on Beckham the entire game. He won't travel with Beckham. He won't. But they got A.J. Boyer as well, who's a pretty good corner in his own right. I don't know if that Giants offensive line, how much better it is to keep Eli upright. And Eli, as we've seen in the past, what I worry most about him is not the interceptions. It's the cause of the interceptions. And that is he sees the rush. He feels the rush. And if they're getting to him, he's going to be throwing off that back foot again. He's going to be throwing off timing, and he'll have some problems there. So, no, I'm not you're still starting Beckham. All right, you're likely still starting Ingram, depending on what all your choices are. Shepard's not a start for me in this game if I have better. The run game, you're starting Barkley. That's it. You're starting your studs, which are Barkley and Beckham.
Yep.
You want to consider Ingram a stud? I'm fine with that. You're starting your studs here. Anybody else but a stud? No, I'm not banking against the Jacksonville defense. I think that's suicide.
BetDSI is celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. They have great customer service and fast, easy payment of winnings. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering on all major sporting events, George, where you can make your play at any time during the game. Using promo code FNTSY, BetDSI is offering up to $1,000 bonus on your first deposit. So use promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com, promo code FNTSY. Is this anywhere on your betting radar? Is this one from an over-under perspective or a spread that entices you? It's, -3 in favor of Jacksonville on the road with a 42.5 over-under as I'm seeing it now. Any inclination to put this into the portfolio for Sunday or a game you're completely staying away from?
I'm probably staying away from it. Jacksonville, with over-unders, Jacksonville is always tough because their defense scores. I mean, that's a pain in the ass. And I think the spread's about right. You mentioned it's Giants +3, and it's at home. The Giants are not bad. They're not a 3-13 team. That was an aberration last year. They're a better team than that. So, there's this is a game I do expect to be close. My biggest question for the Giants is, I mean, Blake Bortles, not very good. He's an average quarterback at best,
right.
And that's probably being nice. But no Olivier Vernon tomorrow. Blake Bortles may be able to order a pizza back there without being hit. He may have all day. Olivier Vernon is really their only true pass threat, and he's not there. You know, he's got the high ankle sprain. I don't know if he'll be back next week against Dallas either. So if I'm leaning towards Jacksonville here, but I don't feel great about it.
It's fine. He'll be in New Jersey. I mean, other than New York, best place to order a pizza. So I do agree that that could be top of mind for him if he has time back there. As we talk through these games, don't forget, we will be back with you next Saturday, 8 to 10, Fantasy Sports Day. George, what's your schedule? When are you on? Are you just on all day? Is that, do you just sit there and talk for 9 or 10 hours a day over the next couple of days?
Yeah, I just keep my mic on, even if I'm not really on a show, just to practice talking. I'm on later today. I'm covering for Corey Parson on the Fantasy Football Frenzy. I'll be on with Joe Galina from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And then Sundays, my normal schedule on Sundays is I cover the late games, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m., with, once again, Joe Galina and Cam Stewart. I'll be your update guy. I'll be at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. And you mentioned there's no commercials during those shows. So, you know, if one of those guys needs to take care of business, go get something to eat, you know, just leave the studio and take a break for a while, you know, cry about your fantasy team. You know, we all need to do that at times. You need to escape. And that's what's great about fantasy, by the way. If you're, I'm a Cowboy fan. I don't expect good things to be happening for the Cowboys this year. But, hey. Maybe my fantasy teams will play better, lift my spirits a little bit. Maybe my DFS will go. Maybe my betting will go well, win some money. I love Cam Stewart, by the way. I converse with Cam all the time, and he always ends it. Let's win some money at the end, no matter what we're talking about. You can talk about anything. Talk about having an oil change. Let's win some money tomorrow. You know, so it's always good to talk to Cam. He's another guy who can bring your spirits out. It's all about cash.
There it is. So check out George, obviously, on Twitter as well, at George Kurtz. If you're not yet following the man, do it now, and do it regularly. Check in with George, his writing as well, for Roto Experts and everybody across the industry. So check it out. So want to continue on here as we move in to the 4 p.m. games. And we have some good ones here. Kansas City and the Los Angeles Chargers. George, I still struggle with saying Los Angeles there. I look for San Diego anytime. I can find them, but they're not there anymore. But nonetheless, they have their contest here against Kansas City. This is one that I'm heavily targeting. Obviously, Philip Rivers is a quarterback you play, but from a DFS perspective, I'm a big fan of this receiving core for DFS purposes this weekend. You know, Eric Berry's out for Kansas City. It's a close line as of right now. 48 over under, -3.5 last I saw in favor of the Chargers. I feel like this is one game that can shoot out. We know a lot about Mahomes and the fact that he's going to throw a lot. You know, the weapons that Kansas City potentially has. But I like the Chargers a lot here. And I like, you know, Keenan Allen, obviously, but even go down to the Tyrell Williams and other wide receivers as potential high upside guys this week. How do you break down this one?
Well, no Joey Bosa tomorrow. He's out for... I almost said San Diego myself. I always catch myself with San Diego. If I had a dollar for every time I said San Diego, exactly, since they moved, somebody would be a rich man. But for the Chargers tomorrow, no Bosa. So that hurts their interior pass rush. Still have Ingram, still a very good defense. But this team is, man, the Chargers are just snake bit no matter where they are. Henry's out. We think he's out for the year. Actually, they don't find PUP, I believe. So he could return. Or if they think he's a chance, he could return.
Yeah,
but
chance,
Henry's out.
Like week 14 or something like that.
Yeah, Verrett's out. And now you lose Bosa. I mean, man, they're losing people here. That being said, Kansas City really has no defense. But historically, or maybe not historically, the past couple of years, Chargers have had a hard time against the Chiefs, moving the ball up and down the field. But I agree with what you said. This should be fantasy gold here. That, you know, who are you not starting on the Chiefs? You start Mahomes. I start Mahomes over Garoppolo easily. It's not even a second's hesitation for me. I think that's an easy choice for me. Hunt goes. I don't really like Watkins, but this is the game for him. You know, Watkins seems to have no chemistry with Mahomes in preseason, but I still have to go with him. You know, here that I just like the matchup. I think points are gonna be put up on the board. Hill goes for Los Angeles. You know, obviously Gordon goes, Rivers goes. Rivers doesn't get enough love in fantasy. He truly doesn't, but he goes there. The choice is gonna be Allen goes. Gates, no, I'm not starting Gates. I do think he'll be fantasy worthy at some point this season, but it might take. He's like 88 years old. He just reported or just signed earlier this week. I don't know how much a part of the game plan he's going to be, so I'm not going to do that. Tyrell Williams, Mike Williams. You know, I mentioned earlier that I had to take Will Fuller out of my column because of the hamstring injury. Well, Ty Williams was the guy that went in. You know, that column, by the way, is the backup players that you could start this week. There you go, Ty Williams. I think points can be put up on the board. I just do. Mike Williams could have been in that conversation as well. I wonder if Mike Williams gets hurt a little bit when Hunter Henry comes back, because he was going to be used as the red zone guy, the end zone guy, big target for Phillip Rivers. Now that Henry, you know, Phillip Rivers BFF is back, that might take away some there. But I think both Williams are in play tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think this just has a big potential to push the over. I'm a big fan of this game. Looking forward to watching this one. Like, this is one of the ones I'm looking most forward to sitting down and checking it out. I am not. Listen, Mahomes is, we know the arm strength and we know what they can do. Do you think at the end of the year, George, Mahomes or Alex Smith has better numbers?
I think it's, neither team, I mean, Washington has no running game. I know Adrian Peterson's there, but he's going to die before they have to see this over. He's nowhere near the Hall of Fame back. So they're going to have to throw the ball a whole lot. Mahomes can throw the ball a whole lot, but you got Hunt there. I mean, but their defense is bad. That's going to force them to throw. Yep. I think it'll be pretty close. You know what? I'll go Mahomes, but I think it'll be pretty close here. I mentioned I have Alex Smith as my starting quarterback in one league, and so I guess I was happy when guys got hurt, because this forces Washington to throw the ball more here. But, I know Alex Smith had great numbers throwing the ball deep last year. But that's because Tyreek Hill is so fast, got wide open. They don't have that in Washington, so that concerns me somewhat. I'm going to go with Mahomes here. I'm going to go with the bigger arm.
Yep. I think Mahomes has better numbers, but obviously more interceptions. And I feel like depending on what kind of league structure you're in and what points matter from a fantasy perspective, they'll be pretty even, I think, when all is said and done. But what about Kansas City? Any plays here to talk through Tyreek and all those? I struggle with this offense because of Mahomes, because of the question mark around whether or not he's quite ready. Do you have concern there, or is this the talent is the talent and we're going to go for it?
You have to have concern. You know, I know he's technically not a rookie, but he started one whole NFL game. he's not. I don't think he's going to be great right off the bat, but it's not a bad venue to play in. I mean, Chargers are playing in pretty much my high school stadium, right? So it's still not a great home field. Am I wrong? I mean, what does it hold? 48 people? Something like that, playing in my living room. So no home field advantage there. I would start Mahomes over Garoppolo once again. I just hate Garoppolo tomorrow.
All right, plenty still to get to. Some 4 p.m. games and the 8 p.m. right here on Fantasy Sports Day. Dan Strapper, George Kurtz, 844-843-6879. Give us a call.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Jumping back into the NFL Week 1 schedule here, Dan Trapper, George Kurtz, Fantasy Sports. Today, we go next to a game that I know George is looking to talk about, Dallas and Carolina. George, you have been very, very honest about your feelings about the Dallas Cowboys this season, not expecting a ton from them from an offensive perspective. Defense, how do you feel, and do you think Carolina has a field day on Sunday, or is this a closely contested one?
Well, this is another rain game. It looks like there's going to be some rain in Carolina as well for this game, which could play into Dallas' hands. Once again, if Dallas can't throw the ball, you want it to rain. That's why Cam can't throw it anyway. But you have issues there in the passing games. So keep that in mind tomorrow. It could be tough sledding for both teams here as far as throwing the ball down the field is concerned here. I'm not talking Cleveland rain, by the way. I'm talking a normal rain day in Carolina. So just keep that in mind. I think for the Cowboys, obviously you're starting Ezekiel Elliott, and that's it. Really, anybody else want to give me another start tomorrow? Anyone? I mean, The Cowboys are going to have trouble throwing the ball. I fully expect Carolina, 8 men in the box, 9 men in the box. You know, everyone's in the box. Yeah, I think and this way most teams are going to do it. You stop Ezekiel Elliott and see if Dak Prescott can beat you with his arm. And I don't think he can. I don't necessarily think that's Dak Prescott's fault. Dallas didn't give him anybody. I mean, Allen Hurns is no more than number 2, number 3. Terrence Williams isn't number three. Cole Beasley's an okay slot guy. Poor man's Wes Welker, for that matter. And I think at the end of the year, he's probably the leads the team as far as PPR fantasy points are concerned. No tight end really to speak of there. So they have issues, and they're one offensive line injury from oblivion. I think that the Dallas defense, I think for the first time in maybe it's the glory days of the 90s, the Dallas defense is better than the offense. And I think that's scary. When you consider that defense is good, it's not great, and the secondary can be beat. You're starting Cam tomorrow. You're not worried about Cam.
Right.
I'm probably starting Funchess. I know he went later in drafts. Maybe you can do better, and it's something to watch here. But the Dallas secondary is weak. You know, they have issues at safety. The cornerbacks are okay at best. And the only reason I would think about not starting Funchess would be purely that the weather's going to end up being worse. And it's really going to rain harder. Maybe Cam can't throw the ball at all. Olsen, you're starting because I don't think really weather bothers him all that much. Dallas linebackers are athletic. They may be able to stick with him. Olsen's lost a step. Obviously, you're starting CMC. Not going to start CJ Anderson, although, once again, the weather's really brutal. Where I think it's going to be a big-time running game. I could think about it. But that Dallas defensive line is above average. It's a good line.
And that's the Dallas offensive line has a bunch of injuries too, right? Like didn't they just bring someone in that they had to put on injured reserve and sign somebody out? Like it's not what it was 2 years ago when Zeke Elliott broke into the league.
No, it's not the line where Dallas needs it to be. That's why Dallas is going to have a problem. You know, they sort of banked on the offensive line controlling games where Zeke Elliott's going to rush for 9 million yards. And that still might happen because he's going to get an overwhelming amount of touches here. But Travis Frederick's out, right? He's got the autoimmune disease. He's out. Nobody really knows. They did not put him on IR, but you heard Frederick talk about this week. He still has numbness in his arms, I believe it is, and some other problems. Man, I don't know why they think this is going to end in 2 weeks. He'll be fine and be able to work out again. That seems silly. That seems like a waste of a roster spot for me. I had to put him on IR to return, but hey, that's me. Jerry Jones didn't ask me. They are one more offensive line injury from oblivion. If Zach Martin goes down and he's already playing with a bruised knee, or Tyron Smith, who missed several games last year with a bad back, if one of those two is out, Dallas is a top 10 draft pick next year. I mean, this offense will be that bad. You know, it won't matter how good the defense may or may not be. The offense will be pathetic. So they have some issues there in Dallas, to put it nicely. I know Corey Parsons is the ultimate optimist, and he thinks Dallas is pretty much going to go 13-3 and win the Super Bowl. They're not.
Yeah, that seems like not as bad as the Jets per se, but the Dallas probability doesn't seem all that high. You look at a site like Football Outsiders, actually has Dallas up at 4.3% in their preseason numbers for Super Bowl odds, and Dallas 47.8% for playoff odds, which I find very high, to be honest. More so than
it's incredibly high. I mean, you think about
it. Crazy.
Well, once again, people have to forget when Vegas does their lines, they want people on both sides.
Right.
There are a lot of Cowboy fans in the and a lot of Corey Parson Cowboy fans in the country, right? And when they're all big time, you know, on the Cowboys, they always are, and they're going to bet on the Cowboys no matter what, no matter how bad the team might be. I don't think it's a pathetic team. I don't, but it's not. I think it's an average football team. But they're going to bet on the Cowboys no matter what. So Vegas is always trying to set that line appropriately according to that. And people sort of forget that's where they get all upset about these lines sometimes, about how are we not favored? Well, that's because more people are betting on the other side because they're fans of that team. You know, the smart money generally comes down late. So people should never truly get upset about this. 48% for the Cowboys to make the playoffs. I mean, I'll say it again. You look at the NFC. Six teams make the playoffs.
Yep.
Minnesota, Green Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, Philadelphia, the Rams. Those are the six best teams right now. Which one of those teams is not making the playoffs?
Right.
All right, you want to get on the Eagles? You want to get on the Falcons? You know, they played the Super Bowl champions on the road week one. That was going to be a tough game.
Yep,
and they played them well.
What.
Right, so that's a loss I can forgive. You want to say the Green Bay Packers are a team that's not going to make the playoffs? Okay, we can have a conversation there because I kind of agree with you there. You know, that they're an Aaron Rodgers-led team. And I know A-Rod's great and the best quarterback in the game. Yes, better than Brady. But I don't know if he's enough. So that's a team you got to beat out. But are the Cowboys that much better than the Detroit Lions, the New York Giants? You know, that they're going to be a team that's going to get in there? I don't know. I don't know about that. I just don't know. That they're that team that can get in over the Packers. You know, and I know that 48% is high, but I know why it's high, because so many Cowboy fans are betting on their team without really, you know, taking an objective look.
Yeah, and I think that's as we venture into a whole new world this year of sports betting being much more mainstream, you're going to get a lot of data, a lot of information, a lot of picks from people. There are going to be a lot of people selling and pushing their takes here. But George made a really good point that is really important to remember, that you know, staring at a Vegas line at a book in Vegas or something offshore or whatever it might be and worrying about the line on Thursday makes little sense. The sharp money, the big time money, that's where you need to be paying attention. Where's, you know, the public going in? Where's the sharp money going in? And you're paying attention Sunday morning. As lines move, do lines move, as things change, it's important to stay on top of it. If you're looking to get into that world and make a go of gaming and wagering, you need to understand not just the top line, the what Vegas wants you to see, but how things are happening in the back of all of those moves and across different books and across different lines, and start to seek out the right content and the right book. I mean, that's the other thing. Find the one that works best for you from a line perspective. So let's continue on here on these contests. We do have Washington and Arizona. I missed the perfect segue after talking about Mahomes Smith and went to Dallas, Carolina instead. But hey, we all make mistakes. Washington and Arizona here. David Johnson, so happy to have him back. So happy to be able to watch him play football. I know this Arizona team's not going to be all that great, but I do think it's just a better league having him playing each and every week. Hope he stays healthy. On the other side, Washington, obviously, you have the Geis injury. You mentioned the corpse of Adrian Peterson in the backfield there. He's been drafted. He's going to be played. People may get some value out of him for the first few weeks. There are some statistics out there that try to justify him being a decent play at running back, burst and yards after contact last year, I believe, some other of the somewhat advanced metrics out there. But I don't believe in him. I know you had to chase after him a bit because of injury. What's this game for you? Do you see upside to anybody in the backfield for Washington, or is it strictly Alex Smith and one or two receivers as potential plays?
I think I like to name my fantasy team the Corpse of Adrian Peterson.
There
it
is.
I like that. I like that. The Corpse of Adrian Peterson.
Back listen, I've from got the AP. Dead and ready to play.
I mean, I said before, I don't really believe in Adrian Peterson, but I did have to get him in Fab in one league. I was a Darius Geis owner in way too many leagues. Banked on the man, was able to get him for what I thought was a really good price, and he's going to be the bane of my existence in fantasy this year because that's going to be a problem without him. But AP, listen, got him in Fab. He didn't cost anywhere. He didn't cost as much as Alfred Morris, which I knew that was coming. We heard people were really banking on Morris having the better year. Sorry to I think AP, he'll be fine the first couple of weeks. I think he'll get worse and worse. That's where I'm going with this. So he'll be fine, then he'll be okay, and then it's going to go down and down here. What is he, 45 years old, long season? He's going to have some issues there. But listen, any starting running back with the Pulse is valuable. So he's probably starting for you this week because you picked him up. It's probably because you lost Geis, so you lost McKinnon, and you did what you had to do. Maybe you lost Bell. So he's in there. Think about it. We've already lost 10% of the starting running backs before the season started. So that's fun. So you're probably starting Peterson, depending on what else you have there. Jordan Reed's playing, and when Jordan Reed plays, when we know he's going to start, we know he's healthy, he starts for your fantasy team. It's that simple. We know he's starting week one. It's a guessing game after that. The only people I'm starting for Arizona, I almost said St. Louis, really shows you my age there. The only people I'm starting for Arizona there are Fitzgerald and Johnson. That's it. I'm not really interested in either quarterback here, Smith or Bradford. Once again, they could be interesting plays if you have Garoppolo, and I would probably think about it, but I don't feel strongly about either one in this game, that they're going to have a big game here. So it's really just the stars here. Crowder probably does go for me, PPR leagues. I think he does get his share of catches there. Doxson does not. He's going to see Patrick Peterson, or at least a bunch of Patrick Peterson, and I'll pass on that matchup.
Yeah, I think that's the right call, and I agree with you, honestly, across the board on this matchup and where you're going. I don't think the quarterbacks really should be in your life unless you are wholesale streaming QBs. Like, I mean, just getting nuts and staying way away from quarterbacks in your drafts, as you may have done. But as we continue to roll along here, want to get into some DFS in the last segment we have after our next break, but do have one more 4 p.m. game and then the 8 p.m. game on Sunday. Seattle and Denver. George, I am all over Case Keenum this week. I just feel like this is a spot where Seattle's defense has gotten markedly worse. They're on the road. They've lost numbers of pieces. They have a rookie starting at linebacker. So Keenum, Manny Sanders, Demaryius Thompson. I know Sutton is there too, people like. And then you have Royce Freeman in the backfield. Maybe I'm overvaluing Denver a bit, but from a DFS perspective, Keenum's almost free at the quarterback spot. And Manny Sanders and Demaryius Thomas, both with cheap price tags across the industry. So big fan there. Do you think Seattle has one last run in them, or is this the start of a tumultuous season there for the Seahawks, where I know we spoke last week about potentially being under 9 wins? This feels like a season that could really get away from Seattle pretty quickly.
I mean, just go by their units. What unit do you feel is above average there, besides quarterback?
Right. None.
Chris Carson, okay, nice running back, but it's kind of scary that your first-round running back is not even going to snip the starting job, right? That seems to be a mistake. And I thought it was a mistake when they made the pick. Not so much that it's against Penny, but I thought they had other issues they had to address, mainly the offensive line. I thought that might have been a smart move there. But the offensive line is average at best. Defensive line is not what it used to be. The secondary is a mess, right? Other than Bobby Wagner, they really don't have a top defensive player anymore. This team's the wide receiving core, I don't want to say it's a disaster, but if Doug Baldwin does go out, if he's not the Doug Baldwin of old, this team's in a truckload of trouble. I mean, I think it's the beginning of a downfall, a big-time downfall for them. They're going to rely on Russell Wilson to do exactly what he did last year, run around, make plays, and bring this team wins out of nowhere. And I think that's too much to ask. They're just not – I mean, he lost Jimmy Graham. He lost one weapon there. He's already got a less than 100% Doug Baldwin. I don't trust Tyler Lockett to be anything big. I don't think that's coming here. So I think Seattle's in a lot of trouble here.
Yeah, I agree. What about the other side from this game specifically? Are you on Keenum at all in this matchup, or are you staying away from the Broncos?
I mean, I'm starting Keenum in the Scott Fish Bowl, 2 quarterback league, so he'll start for me there. So I'm hoping for some big things. He's had an okay preseason. He has very good chemistry with Manny Sanders. So I think it looks like a big year is coming. Sanders is playing the same role that Adam Thielen played last year. So that does bode well for Keenum. He likes to throw it to that slot receiver. Quote with Sutton, Demaryius Thomas. You're starting Demaryius Thomas. I don't think I could ever not start him. But Sutton, I'm not. The run game, Royce Freeman, I like a bunch. To answer your question, Case Keenum. I mean, I'm not in love with him. I'm just not. I think he's more of a game manager slash don't lose the game first. We'll win it with our defense and the running game. Just don't want you to make mistakes. So to say I'm in on him would be a no. Would I take him over a Flacco and Dalton to start against Minnesota, start instead of Garoppolo because I hate the matchup? Probably not. I prefer Flacco and Dalton ahead of him. I just don't see big thing. Now, I see him playing badly, but I don't know if I see much upside here.
That makes sense, and I think a more than reasonable take when breaking down this game is that the upside isn't gigantic. I'll admit I am pairing Keenum a lot with Manny Sanders on DK, a bit on Yahoo and FanDuel as well. So I'm trying to find that correlation there, and I think there is upside to both of them and allows me to pay up at other positions where I see fit, running back especially. I think this week is going to be intriguing to pay up at. Because week one, we have a lot of value. So paying up at running back to get away from that lower end value could be a way to differentiate in GPPs. But want to continue on here on these games and be done with the Sunday night. We can touch on the Monday games quickly in our last segment as well. Chicago and Green Bay. This is a fun Sunday night game. The primetime games sometimes disappoint, or Thursday night games often disappoint for the NFL, but this should be a really fun one to start off the year. Bears, we get Aaron Rodgers back. Obviously, the Bears' defensive line is stacked now with the trade they made. I'm a big believer in Trubisky this year at the value he was at. I do think he has weapons. I think that Jordan Howard could have a big year as well. On the other side, obviously, Aaron Rodgers, Jimmy Graham, Davante Adams. And then sort of some shoulder shrugs. I'm not really sure what's happening in that backfield, George. I'm not sure other options. How do you see these two teams breaking down in this matchup on Sunday night?
I think it's going to be a fun game. It's one of the oldest rivalries in the NFL. Actually, I think it's the oldest rivalry in the NFL. Everyone's going to be excited to see Khalil Mack. I just don't know how much he'll be integrated other than obvious passing situations to go get Aaron Rodgers on Sunday. I mentioned Green Bay. I think it's an overrated team. I think they're a good team, but it's all about Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you lost Jordy Nelson. So Devontae Adams, your only trusted wide receiver. I don't know how much Jimmy Graham's going to be a big part of that offense between the 20s. I think he's mainly a red zone threat. The running game, who the hell knows? Jamal Williams, Ty Montgomery, Aaron Jones when he comes back in week three. I think Jones is the guy you want there long term. And I don't know if any of them matters tomorrow. Maybe Montgomery and PPR at least are catching the balls out of the backfield. But I don't think they're going to have much of a running game tomorrow. It's going to be all about Aaron Rodgers and that arm. And I think more importantly, probably even more than I want to see Green Bay, I want to see the Chicago Bears. I want to see what they look like now. Trubisky in year two. He's got the weapons around him. How are they going to use Tariq Cohen? You know, he's going to be a weapon. I want to see how that weapon's going to be used. Jordan Howard will be fine. How is Allen Robinson looking? You know, Trey Burton, who I think is going to be a monster in that offense. So I'm really curious about the Chicago Bears here. They're probably maybe the team in the NFC, besides the big dogs, that I want to see most, that I think can make that big big leap if Trubisky can make the big leap as well.
Fantasy Factor's free entry $1 million NFL Survivor Contest is now open. Sign up today and play for a chance at $1 million. Go to fantasyfactor.com. That's fantasyfactor.com. One segment to go here on Fantasy Sports Today. Dan Schraber, George Kurtz breaking down the NFL Week 1. We'll touch on the Monday night games and talk a tiny bit about daily fantasy sports and some of the lines heading into Sunday here in our final segment. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back after this commercial break. 844-843-6879 on Fantasy Sports Today.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Closing out Fantasy Sports Today for Saturday morning, Dan Strafford and George Kurtz. It's a great song. Let's continue on here, George. We'll talk about these two Monday night games quickly. I want to get your take on any daily fantasy plays and any wagering you're looking to do this weekend, where your money is going, where mine is going as well. George and I haven't worked out him betting my money as of yet, so we'll see if there's a segment in a later date to figure out how to win Dan Strafford's money, but there's not much of it, I promise you that. Anyway, let's continue on here. We'll talk about these two Monday night games quickly and then talk a little daily fantasy. Jets, Detroit. We were talking on Twitter a bit here about potentially taking the Detroit Lions in survivor pools because of the rookie on the road. Lions favorite at home, probably the only time all year you'll take them. It's an interesting strategy when you decide this is the only time I'm taking a team. You replied with, well, only time I'm taking Baltimore as well is here home against Buffalo. What's this game say to you? Do you think Darnold is the real deal for the Jets? Do you think this game shoots out a little bit more than people are expecting, or is this a dud to start Monday night?
Well, I think Darnold is the real deal, yes. I think the Jets made the right choice here. Go with the rookie. Get him out of his let him break off that rust this season. That being said, it's Monday night on the road in a dome. I mean, it's not the best situation. What would Joe Girardi say? It's not what you want. So I think this will be a tough sledding for Sam here. So I do. So I forget who it was on Twitter. Might have been I don't want to say not so. I think it was Andy Kosterman who said Detroit's a good DST play this week. I agree. You know, if you're in a survivor pick, if you want to go with Detroit, it doesn't bother me either. Monday night at home, rookie quarterback. You're not going to do much better than that. And it's another team where, you know, how many times this season are you going to want to bet Detroit? That you're going to want to bet on them in Survivor, so I can understand them as well. I think they're a top-five play.
Makes sense to me. As a Jets fan, I am looking forward to the Sam Darnold error, but I am not high on this matchup, and I do think there's potential later in the year where he could have some big games. Yes, it could be an upset spot for the Jets, but I just don't see it as happening. This wide receiver core, there's some talent. I get it. I think there'll be some big plays from them, but I just need to see it before I believe it as this season goes on. I do think, I said it last week, that Bilal Powell has gone completely forgotten. And I think that he is somebody that could have big games under his belt on this season. Detroit minus 6.5, seeing an over under 45. implied totals for each team have come up by half a point. So you have Jets going from 18.75 to 19.25, and Detroit going from 25.25 to 25.75. So some interesting numbers there to digest, but you do have some time still, obviously, before Monday night to get any wagering in on this contest. I'm sure those lines may move a tiny bit again as we get through the weekend. Final game on the weekend, Monday night, late game. It is fun to have two Monday night games, one early, one late, though this late one may be past my bedtime when all is said and done. L.A. Rams, another one where I have to check myself when I say L.A. L.A. Rams and the Oakland Raiders, soon to be the Las Vegas Raiders, which is even going to confuse me further. But I love what's there not to love about the Rams. There's so much happening on this team that points towards a hopefully deep playoff run if Goff can continue progressing, obviously. And I think there's little doubt. On the other side, you have the All-Pro team from 2007 in the NFL on this roster for Oakland. John Gruden doing his best to bring Raider Nation back to about 2011 or 2007 and make things work there. I'm not huge on anybody from Oakland except for Marshawn Lynch season long. I thought he had good value. I just don't see this offense doing what they need to do to get by. What's this game, first of all, to you? And then we can talk about some over-unders and line movement in this one as well.
Well, the Raiders are going to get their ass kicked. I mean, this is really what it really comes down to here. Raiders are not a good team. The defense is deplorable. It was bad last year with Khalil Mack. Now you don't even have Mack. We keep making the joke about the 2007 Raiders, but it's, there's a lot of truth in that. I mean, John Gruden's taking this team back. They're going to need Derek Carr to be a franchise great quarterback this year, and I don't think he's up to that task at all. So I think they're going to have some issues there. To let you know what the decisions I'm wrestling with, I have Amari Cooper in a league. Well, I hate this matchup. I think the Rams dominate this game. So I'm debating, do I start Cooper or James Conner in the flex in one league? Yeah, Conner's certainly the safer play here, but I fully believe that the Rams blow the doors off the Raiders, and the Raiders doing nothing but throwing the ball, which I think is what Gruden wants to do anyway. In which case, maybe I should keep Cooper in there just to get some garbage time points there. So that's a decision I'm wrestling with there, especially with all the rain in Pittsburgh. So I think the Raiders are a top five bad, worst team in football. So I think it's going to be a long season for them. I love the Rams just like everybody else. I mean, if all the friends that they acquired, if they can gel, if they can all work towards a common goal, this team is going for it. We heard they were in on Mac as well. They tried to get Mac, and they offered that, made an aggressive offer. Apparently Chicago made a better one. So it just makes you wonder, this team wants to win, and they have all the pieces in place. I'm starting Goff in this game. He's an easy start for me over Garoppolo, if anybody was wondering about that decision. I can't think of anybody I don't want to start on the Rams. I'm starting Cooks, Woods, Kupp, Gurley. I'm not starting with tight ends, okay? So I guess there's somebody I'm not starting on the Rams, the tight ends. The defense I'm starting, Zerline I'm starting. Like I said, if I have a Ram, he's in my lineup. Everybody. Isaac Bruce is back in my lineup.
This is only a -4.5 for the Rams. That's a line I expected to be a little bit bigger. I was expecting 6.5. That feels like an exploitable spread in favor of the Rams. I am not anyone trying to say I am a professional sports bettor, but seems like one that would entice me at least Monday night if it stayed at 4.5 or seeing it some other places at 4. Seems pretty enticing. Anything from money line or over under or the spread here that's piquing your interest?
Well, you already named it. This is the game I'm betting on. I've already got money on this game. I think the Rams kicked the Raiders' ass. I can't see how they don't. I just can't see it. I think the Raiders, you've heard from the locker room how disappointed they are that Mac was traded. Forget whether or not they believe they got enough value in return. They didn't get anything that's going to help them now. And I think they're already disillusioned a little bit. I think this team is a problem. They gave a third-round pick for Martavis Bryant. He's gone. He's been jettisoned. I think this team is a complete mess. I love the Rams. I think I got them at -4, if I remember correctly, as well. But I don't care if it was at -6. I would still take the Rams.
Yep. I was expecting to see -6.5 when I opened up a couple of different pages I'm looking at here, but seeing -4.5 on one and -4 on the other. So it feels like one to slam. I may be off there, but I agree with George that this should be a good way to wrap up Monday night. Like, this is sort of that we talk about late night hammers in DFS, right? When you play the West Coast games in NBA or in the NFL, this is a late weekend hammer where whether via parlay or just individual wagers, having this as the last game to go and going with the Rams feels like a pretty good line to end it with. But hey, stranger things have happened. The NFL, that's why they play the games. That's what they say. That's the cliche to often lean on when it comes to, any given Sunday, right? That's the one that matters most here in the NFL. But this is Monday night, so it doesn't count. Let's talk quickly here, George, about some DFS. Looking through FanDuel pricing, DK pricing, Yahoo's open. There are tons of, obviously, different sites. FanDuel, you're playing one quarterback, two RBs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and a defense. They got rid of kickers this year. I'm very happy to see that. Some good prices across the board on some of the value quarterbacks. I do like Keenum over there as well. I think that Andy Dalton is a fine cash game play against Indianapolis. Kirk Cousins at 7,600 isn't overpriced per se. It does feel as though Tom Brady and Drew Brees make it tough to get up to some of the higher end wide receivers and running backs if you want to go that route. But if you want to differentiate, paying up a quarterback typically is a way to do it. Any DFS look here at QB for you, or are you mainly focused on your season long leagues as of right now?
Oh, no, DFS. So we're big on DFS as well. Joe Flacco, I mentioned, this guy I like, 4,900 at DK. I mean, listen, I think Flacco's going to have his way. It's at home against Buffalo, a team that, in my mind, may be the worst team in the NFL. You heard that little intro. What was the over-under 6 for wins for Buffalo? I'll take the under on that every damn time. Every time. I think they're going to crush that as far as maybe get 3 wins at most, 4 of that. And by taking Flacco, 4,900, it allows you to spend up at running back, wide receiver. Dalton is another guy I'm thinking of, but he's 5,800 at DK.
Yep. So Dalton on DK, I have a bit of, I have Case Keenum, I have Kirk Cousins on DK, a decent amount as well. I'm going back and forth between Dalton and Keenum as my cash game quarterback on DraftKings as of right now. Probably lean Dalton just because he's most likely chalk and don't want to get away at quarterback. Running backs quickly here. A lot of exposure for me to James White. We talked about him in the New England game. I know people will be on Burkhead. I know people will be on James White at 4K, but I like him a lot in the past game. PPR sites, obviously. I have a bit of Alvin Kamara in that matchup with Tampa Bay, and then David Johnson. I have a lot of representation with DJ, and then I'll throw in the likes of Alex Collins here and there. Joe Mixon I have a bit of. What are some of the running backs from a DFS perspective that are standing out to you?
Well, one you didn't mention, Joe Mixon's in a lot of my lineups as well, 6,100 on DK. Royce Freeman, 4,500.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know how I can not put him in there as one of my two running backs on DK, or at least in a flex spot there. So Royce Freeman is someone I'm looking at, and like I said, I love the price. James Conner's also at 4,500. You know, so it's one of the guys you want to think about there. I don't love the matchup with Cleveland. I think Cleveland's a decent defense.
Yep.
You know, so maybe even more of a defense. I'm probably not giving them enough love. So, it's another price I do like. But if you want to go cheap at running back and maybe go heavy at wide receiver or pay for a better quarterback, whatever it might be, I could see you going with Freeman and Connor.
Yeah, I think that whole price range actually has a lot to like. You have Breda in there as well. Not a great matchup, but he's 4,600 and could get some volume. Freeman, you mentioned Connor. You have Carlos Hyde there at 4,500. We talked about the Cleveland backfield earlier. Then you drop down to Rex Burkhead at 4,200. I mentioned James White at 4K. So there's a lot to like here on the cheaper end of running back that could make a build of some top-end wide receivers, a decent quarterback, and then find a cheaper end for tight end. We go to wide receiver. There's obviously so much talent here, and I can't cover off on everybody, that would not be a good word to say, but everybody. I do have a bit of A.J. Green. I do have Stephon Diggs all over the place. I have Manny Sanders in a lot of spots. Michael Thomas I have, and then I sprinkle in some Tyrell Williams, get some... who else do I have here? Manny Sanders, Tyrone, Keenan Allen. So Keenan Allen as a higher-priced wide receiver as well. Lots to play with here, though, from a lineup construction perspective across all the sites. So obviously you can mix and match. Who are some of your favorite plays, both from a top end and maybe from a value perspective?
Well, for a top end, because I've gone so cheap at running back, I mentioned Freeman, 4,500, Connor, 4,500. I'm putting in Hopkins, 8,300. He's expensive, absolutely, but I can afford it. And there's a reason I went cheaper at running back, because I think there's a lot of points coming in New England tomorrow. There's no one else, really, for Deshaun Watson to throw to, with Will Fuller being a little banged up here. Yeah, so that's why I'm high on Hopkins. I like A.J. Green as well. That's, once again, 7,300, so he's up there in price. I want to put Funchesson at 5,200 against Dallas, but I'm worried about the weather a little bit, so I'll have to see how that goes. We mentioned Emmanuel Sanders, 5,000. Seattle lost another cornerback, by the way. They placed a cornerback on IR today, I think Johnson, with a groin injury, I believe. So they're really – they have some problems in the secondary, to put it nicely. So Manny Sanders at 5,000 is going to be on my list as well.
Yep, big fan there. The one thing with the Pats, and it's much like the running back thing, it's that one target. Belichick does do a great job of targeting the one offensive weapon and limiting him. I know Hopkins is a man amongst boys when it comes to wide receiver. I struggle a bit going to him here simply because it feels like a spot the Pats may just try to limit him and make Watson beat them elsewhere, especially if Will Fuller is not around. So that could be an intriguing one. Let's talk some tight ends here. I quickly went, George, to Austin Seferian Jenkins against the Giants. I think David Njoku is a potential play here as well, depending on the weather. Who do you like at tight end?
I can't blame about ASJ. So I wrote about him yesterday. Giants last 5-10 years have been horrific against tight ends. I understand technically last year means nothing, but their tight end, their linebackers aren't all that much more athletic. They mentioned during the preseason that Ogletree still can't cover a tight end. He's a very good run-stuffing linebacker, but can't cover a tight end. They're already having some issues here. ASJ is going to play. Yeah, I'm on him as well, but I can't pass up Jordan Reed. He's only 4,000. They're not pricing him yet, because of, you know, the injury history. He's completely healthy right now. Going to play tomorrow. 4,000. If Jordan Reed were to play 16 games, he'd be a top three tight end. Easy.
Sure.
It wouldn't even be close. 4,000, I can't pass up Reed. And we all know Alex Smith loves to throw to his tight ends. Give me Reed.
Yeah, I like the Reed call a lot. And actually probably will pivot there a little bit on the Njoku lineups I do. And I do have Jack Doyle in one lineup, because I think that is some upside there for Andrew Luck in that contest against the Cincinnati Bengals. So in my more tournament perspective lineup, I have Jack Doyle as my tight end. Let's talk defenses here. Obviously, many people are going to be on the Ravens. They are the higher-priced defense. I try to get home teams that are favored and with some turnover upside. I like the New Orleans Saints a lot. They're expensive, though, $3,600. If you're trying to punt at defense, it's going to be tough to find one that you're really in love with. Unless you start to talk about the Pats for turnovers potentially against Watson, or the Chargers, same reason, at 2,800 against Mahomes, looking for some INTs. But obviously points against matter. What do you like here, George?
I mean, I won't name the top ones, but if you want to go cheap, I mean, you really want to go cheap, the Titans against Miami, 2,900. I think that's an option I could go with there. Not much really for me to worry about there with the Miami offense. I can also see it going with the Bengals against Indianapolis. You know, not much of a running game to be concerned with Cincinnati. It's just, can they stop Luck and Hilton? If they can, I don't know if the Colts right now, from what we've seen from Luck in the preseason, are really that much of a threat on offense.
Yep. I actually was on the Titans a bit. I struggle with taking a team on the road, but I do think that Tennessee here is in a good spot at a good price point. So I will probably revisit them a bit. As of right now, have the most exposure to the Bengals and to the Saints. I do have one Ravens lineup, but I just see them being absolutely mega chalk. Check out Evan Silva did a great write-up on Nathan Peterman, and that 5-interception game was not necessarily all his fault. Not saying he's a good quarterback, but there could be people undervaluing him. That's not really a word, but you get what I'm trying to say. Maybe detracting too hard from Peterman and may have some less problems this season as we go through it. But a great show here today. George Kurtz, check him out on Twitter, of course, at George Kurtz. College Football Today coming up next at 10 a.m. Gabe Morency and the crew getting ready for all of college football here on FNTSY. George and I will be back with you next Saturday, every Saturday from 8 to 10 a.m. getting ready for each week of NFL. Thanks so much for listening. You can find us on Twitter at FNTSY Radio. And, of course, find us at FNTSY.com. For George Kurtz, this is Dan Trapertain. Best of luck on week one, and enjoy football tomorrow, folks.